Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And you notice these Easter lilies finally opened up. They were supposed to open up last week, but they were a bit stubborn. So I figured since they opened up, may as well just leave them here. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, look if you would at verse 15. Paul writes to the church of Philippi and he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Now, before we start, I want to again remind you that there in verse 17, you see that word ensample. Ensample. And you say, well, that's the same, you know, if you read commentaries or you use other sources, they'll tell you that means example. There is a difference. How many of you know the difference between ensample and example? You notice when you're reading your Bible, you'll see example in some place and it'll say ensample in another. Whenever you see the word ensample, you are comparing two things that are alike. That's what, in other words, if you have, for instance, Jews today, would be the Jews back in the Old Testament would be ensamples to Jews today. Ensamples. Why? Because they're both Jews. However, how many of you know that we can learn from the mistakes like murmuring and stuff like that that the children of Israel and the Jews did while they were in the wilderness that would be examples to us today? But where the church today is not the same thing as the nation of Israel. Amen? I'll ask you then. The church today is not the same as the nation of Israel. It does not replace the nation of Israel. Okay? So the nation of Israel and what the Jews did in the Old Testament would be an example for us today, but it would be an ensample for the nation of Israel today because you're comparing two things that are alike. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So that whenever you see the word ensample and example, that's what it's talking about. And so the Bible talks many places about there being examples and how people are to be examples to others. For instance, it tells us that we are to be like those who are good examples in the Bible. How many of you understand that there are good examples in the Bible and there are bad examples in the Bible? I mean, certainly if you look at the kings of Israel, the northern kingdoms, or the northern tribes, there wasn't a good king there after Solomon. Amen? Now, you had some good kings there in Judah, and so certainly we wouldn't want to be an example. I mean, we wouldn't want those people to be an example for us. Nimrod would be a horrible example for anybody today. Amen? And so there are good examples, there are bad examples. It also tells us that we are to be good examples to other folks. All of us as Christians today are to be good examples. Amen? It's part of having a testimony of Christ. And so when it comes to following those that are good examples in the Bible, Paul tells us here in Philippians in verse 17, he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." He was saying, follow me. Walk as I walk and do as I do. Now, that's something that you actually hear Paul say a lot in the Scripture. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says this, "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow." In other words, follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation. Paul also tells the people of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 3:9, he says, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us." Hey, what he's saying is this. He's saying, you need to follow us. Paul's saying, you need to follow me. So the Bible tells us that we are to follow good examples in the Bible. But at the same time, the Bible says that we are to be good examples to others. Titus 2:7 says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." A pattern of good works. in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So not only are we supposed to have good examples that we follow, people that we follow, but we're also supposed to be good examples ourselves so that others can follow us. Now, such scripture should cause us to wonder exactly who is our example today. I mean, in other words, who is my role model today? Who is the person I look up to today? You see, we all have somebody we look up to. We all have those people that we would say, hey, you know, that's a person that I try to be like, or that's a person I try to live my life like. A Christian, you know, as a Christian, who am I being an example to? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about who is looking at you as an example today? And what kind of example am I being? That's certainly a question we need to all ask ourselves. Am I being a good example or am I being a bad example? And so we're going to look at each one of these questions this morning, but before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again, for the opportunity to study your word, Lord, and look at it and see just what it says. And Lord, I just pray that you'll teach us your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'll just bless our hearts with it, Lord, and help us just to seek you more and more every day. And help us, Lord, to be good examples. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let's look at the first question I want to ask you this morning. And that is, who is your example? In other words, who do you try to be like? You know, when I was young, the person I guess I used to want to be like more than anybody else was my father. You know, I mean, I'd see the way he does things, and I'd start to do it. You know, we've all seen the little boy that, you know, the dad's sitting there and he's got his legs crossed a certain way while he's reading the paper, and you see the little boy right there, and he crosses his legs exactly the same way and acts like he's reading the paper. What's he doing? He's mimicking his dad. He's doing what his dad is doing. And certainly today, you know, there. If you're here today, I mean, you're one of those people who used to look at your parents as examples, and try to live life the way they live life. But today we live in a world where so much time and attention is given to entertainment. I mean, everything today is based on entertainment of some sort. And I think, I often think right now that the things when I grew up, the things that used to thrill me and the things that I used to do seemed a whole lot more simple back then what they are now. I mean, when I was young, I tell you folks, when I was young, if you give me a flashlight, I had the best time ever once it turned dark. Amen? Because we used to go chase each other with flashlights, and whenever I'd shine a flashlight and hit somebody, it was their turn. And I'd throw them the flashlight and I'd go hide. And we do this forever. And it's the funnest thing in the world. But you know, now it seems like entertainment is so big that we, you know, young people, they want more and more and more. And it seems like it takes more, even with adults, it seems like it just takes more to satisfy us than what it used to do. But you know, even with the entertainment and everything, because people, in our world is so engrossed with entertainment and everything's about, you know, entertain me. We watch TV for entertainment. We watch this for entertainment. Everything's about entertainment. And because of that, the people that are in the entertainment industry are looked at as being examples that we follow. They're the people that a lot of people look up to today. People such as sports figures, movie stars, singers. Those are the type of people that everybody's looking at today as an example to follow. And because so much of our time is spent watching the so-called examples, our children and even adults are having their personalities and way of thinking molded and influenced by these entertainers. You say, how do you know that? Because when they dress a certain way, you know what that does? It starts a fad in this country. And then everybody starts dressing that way. And let me tell you something, folks, the entertainers know that there are examples. The entertainers today know that they're examples. Now, you say, well, how do you prove that? Because at every drop of a hat, when it comes time to try to sway somebody's opinion or way of thinking, they will take it. On TV, they will take it, and they will voice what they believe about this, about that, and they're using the fact that they're entertainers, and they're using the fact that people are looking up to them. They're using that to sway the thinking of a nation. That's what's happening today. And not only that, but it's also evident that they are examples of people because, like I said, you know, styles and fads and things like that come about by just what they wear. For instance, there's that fellow Justin Bieber. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, but you know, he had a certain style of haircut. And after he had a certain style of haircut, it seemed like every young man in the whole country wanted that style of haircut. Why? Because he had it. I remember growing up in the 80s, and I remember people would come to school and they had leg warmers. How many of you remember leg warmers? Do you know where leg warmers come from? Because there was a movie to where this actress wore leg warmers. And everybody's like, well, that's cool. We'll all start to wear them too. And next thing you know, it's a fad going through the country. You see, the entertainers were the example. And I'm not against you if you wore leg warmers, by the way. Amen. Personally, I think there's a whole lot more gets cold than just your legs. Probably should wear a coat or something, okay? But what I am saying is this, is it was an example that people followed these examples. And the examples they followed were from the entertainment industry. And so, you know, again, I'm not pointing out flaws what people wear, or I'm not even pointing out flaws in haircuts. I mean, overall. But what I am saying is that you can see our examples in life by what we, who our example is in life, by what we wear, what we say, by our way of thinking, and how we act. You can tell who the examples that you're following. And each one of us resemble to a great degree those who we hold as examples. Now, certainly the Bible has many people who are great examples for us to follow, people like Job and Elijah, Moses. And certainly the greatest example is Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, that is the greatest example. The Apostle Paul is a good example in the Bible. And today there are also many godly Christian people who would be great examples for us to follow. There are many preachers today that I hold in high regard because of the godly life that they live and examples that they live by. But even though Paul told the church of Philippi and the church of Thessalonica to follow him as an example, Paul was not saying that so people would be more like Paul. He was saying that so people would be more like Jesus Christ, who he was following. Blake, come up here a second. Come up here. When Paul said this, he said, I want you to follow me. Caleb, come up here. They didn't know I was going to call on them, so it's just... Get behind me. When Paul said... I am not being disrespectful and not blasphemous, but for illustration purposes, let's say that Blake represents Jesus Christ. Let's say I represent Paul. And let's say that he represents Timothy. Paul said this. He said, follow me. Do you know who Paul's following? Start walking. So Paul is following Jesus Christ and how he walks, and Paul says, follow me. Now when he says, follow me, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to follow. Go ahead and sit down. Paul, listen, there are people that say that will say, I will follow no man. I follow Jesus Christ. Well, amen. I understand that. However, when Paul said, follow me, he was following Jesus Christ. So as long as somebody is following Jesus Christ, it's okay to follow them. Now, if they start to walk different than Jesus Christ, don't follow me anymore. Amen. But Paul said, follow me. So even though a person says, well, I don't follow any man, listen, you can follow somebody. Somebody can be your example as long as they are walking the same way Christ was walking, the same way that, and believing the same thing that Christ taught, and is walking the same direction that Christ is walking, they can be your example. That's the reason Paul said, follow me, because he was following Christ. How many of you see that? Okay? And so that's the reason he was saying that. He's saying, I am the example. I'm setting an example for you to follow. And the reason I can set an example for you to follow is because I'm following the example of Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, follow me. He was being an example. So my question to you this morning is this. Who is your example? Now I know it's Jesus Christ. But who is it that you look up to? And are they following Jesus Christ? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so, you know, today, like I said, many people, when they hold up people as being an example that they like to follow and they emulate people and they say, boy, I want to be like that person. Does that person follow Christ? If that person does not follow Christ, you should not look at them as an example. You should not. Why? Because our example ultimately is to be Christ, be like Christ. That is, He is to be our example. But the people that we follow should be like them too. What I'm saying to you is this in a nutshell: the person that you're holding up as an example that you like to that you want to follow needs to be a good, godly Christian that's trying to live right. Amen? That's what this whole thing is saying. Now again, ultimately our main example in life is to be none other than Jesus Christ, because after all, He is our example in everything. If you read Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, you'll see He's the example in how we are to love others. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He's saying follow God. Now remember this, when Paul says be ye therefore followers of God, is that also not the same person that said follow me? Sure, because he's following the Lord. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, I'm following Christ, and I'm loving people like Christ loved people, and so therefore, if you follow me, then you'll be following Christ's example on how to love people. And certainly, nobody taught us how to love more than Jesus Christ. Nobody has. All right? Not only that, but how about the example in our families? Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay, so there again, the example is Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, in your family, you know who your example is supposed to be? Christ. The way you love your wife, the way you treat your family, everything is, you're supposed to follow Christ's example. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you know what that's saying, man? That's saying you need to love your wife a lot. You also need to be willing to die for her if need be. Amen? How about this? Do you want to talk about family? Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Who set the example for that? Jesus Christ said, not my will, but thine be done, Father. See what he's doing? He is being obedient to the Father. Don't you understand? If he wasn't obedient to the Father, then he would have been a horrible example for us. But he wasn't. He was our example. Still is our example. And just as Christ obeyed the Father, children obey their parents. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Jesus is our example in all aspects of life. We are to be like him, and our minds and our hearts are to conform to him. Jesus himself said in Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone that's perfect shall be as his master. Are you like Christ? Are you trying to be more like Christ every day? Listen, that's what God is doing. He's conforming you to the image of Christ. If you're growing as a Christian, you should be more like Christ this year than you were last year. Amen? And why? Because you're following Christ. Ultimately, you're following Christ. And the person that you hold up, the person that you use, that you follow physically on this earth, should be following Christ. So my question is this morning is, who are your examples? Who is the person that you're holding up as an example that you follow? Who are the people you're trying to be like? Is it other faithful Christians? Or are you following the example of the same people this world holds in high esteem? Listen, there's nothing wrong with being a sports fan. I like sports. I don't really watch it like I used to, believe it or not. I mean, at one time I was so much into it that if my team lost, I'd sulk for a week. I'm not like that anymore. I mean, I'm to the point now that, you know what, the sun still comes up tomorrow, and You know, and I tell you what really started to change my whole thinking on it was the Lord. But I tell you something the Lord pointed out to me was this. 20 years, you know, every one of those sports stars that are so great today, 20 years from now, you know what they're going to be? Old, just like us. Right. Amen. And I tell you what, you sit there and you watch those sports figures that are so great today, you watch them 30 years from now, and you know what you see? That the book of Ecclesiastes is 100% true. Vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. Why? We're all going to grow old, and we're all going to die. And this person may be the greatest basketball player to ever walk the planet, the face of the planet, but you know what's going to happen? He's going to get old, he's going to get fat, and he's going to die. That's what's going to happen, folks. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking sports. But there are a lot of people today that hold sports figures up as being their example. Now, how many of you remember the Michael Jordan thing, I want to be like Mike? Be like Mike. Listen, do you really want to be like Mike? Now, if Mike is a follower of Jesus Christ and a Christian living like he's supposed to be living, then by all means, be like Mike. Why? Because you're following Christ ultimately. That's the way Paul said, follow me. But if that person is not like Jesus Christ, I don't care who he is or how good he is at sports, he's not to be your example. You're supposed to have a godly example to follow. So who's your example? I'll tell you this, folks, when we start to hold up people of high that the world holds up in high regard, here's what Jesus said in Luke 16:15. He says, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." I'll tell you this. A person that's following Jesus Christ today, truly following Jesus Christ, will not be highly esteemed by this world. He will not be highly esteemed by this world. So who are your examples today? Who is it that you look up to? That's the first question. Now the second question is, and it's closely related to the first question, and that is, whose example are you today? Who are you an example to today? Are we not to be examples to other Christians? Are we not to live lives in such a way that other people see the way we live and they look at us as an example? In other words, he's doing that right and he's doing that right according to the Bible. I should do that too. We are to be examples to others. Okay? Now, we're all examples to somebody. I mean, are we not examples to be examples to other Christians? Are we not to be examples to babes in Christ? Listen, if you've been saved for a while, aren't you supposed to be examples to the babes in Christ on how to live? Well, certainly you are. And again, you know, some people say, well, I don't want anybody looking at me to be an example. You know, sometimes we say things that sound so spiritual. When we say, oh, I'm such a sinner, I don't want anybody to look at me. Well, that's not biblical. If you're following Christ, you should want everybody looking at the way you're living. You know why? Because you're showing them Jesus Christ by the way you live. And here's another thing too. Listen, if you're one of those people that say, well, I don't want anybody, I don't want to really be an example to anybody. Number one, you need to remember that you have no say-so in a matter. You are an example to somebody whether you want to be or not. Somebody's always watching you. The very moment that you took on the name Christian, you know how many people are watching you right now to see how you live? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how you are an example to someone all the time? You listen, not only an example to someone all the time, but if you're living right, you should want people to look at you as being an example, if you're living right. As Christians, we should be mindful that we're always examples to one another. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "And ye became followers of us," Paul said, "and of the Lord." Again, just like me, Blake, and Caleb. Blake represented the Lord. He's walking this way, and then I'm following him, and the next person following me. It says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." Why? Because we're all walking in the same direction. "Having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." He said, here's what's happening. Paul says, I'm following the Lord. And then these people at this church are following me, and this church here are being examples to all these other believers over there of exactly how to walk in Christ. And we're all going in the same direction. What he's saying is this, is if I'm following the Lord, then I am an example that you should be following the Lord too. So if I'm walking and you're walking in the same direction, we're both still following the Lord because I'm an example, then you're an example, then other people are going to be following in behind. Now here's the problem. When we're supposed to be examples to other people, but what happens when we start to live a life that's not scripturally right? We're still examples. And there are going to be some people that's going to follow you the wrong way. The wrong way. We're always examples, folks. You can't stop being an example to somebody. I'll tell you this. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, don't fool yourself. You're an example whether you want to be or not. Why? They're watching you. They're watching you. They're seeing everything that you do. You're always an example to somebody. And so certainly we are to be examples to the young children. You say, wait a second, I don't even teach Sunday school. How could I be examples to young children? I'll tell you this, folks. Just because you're a grown-up, you're an example to many young children today. Just because you're a grown-up. If for no other reason, the kids will look up to you and look at you as being an example just because you're an adult and they're not. What kind of example are you being? You know, and children are influenced by any grown-up, especially parents and grandparents. We need to be mindful that the children are watching us and listening to what we say, both at church and at home. They listen to every word that you say. They may not obey everything, but they hear what you say, and they see the way that you live. Jesus warned this in Matthew 18:6. He says, But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, boy, I tell you what, that is some tough words right there. Let me ask you this. The example that you're setting right now, are you offending little ones? Are you offending them? Whether we want to admit it or not, we're examples to the young people of this church, and we're prime examples to our children and grandchildren at home. A study that was done disclosed that if both mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of their children would remain faithful after they get older, after they grew up and left home. If only dad remained faithful, 55% remain faithful. If only mom, 15%. If neither attended church regularly, only 6% of their children would grow up to attend church regularly. You know what that's telling you? That's telling you that they are watching what you're doing. And they are following your example. If you get to a point where you say, it's not important for us to go to church. We don't have to go to church. You know what? Your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. They're hearing what you're saying. And they're looking at you as being an example. And you're not walking according to Christ. You're walking in a different direction. And they are going to follow you. And they're going to hold you up as an example. So when they get on their own and they get older, you know what they're going to do? Well, Paul didn't do it. Grandpa didn't do it. So no reason for me to do it either. They're following your example. We're all examples to somebody. And again, it doesn't really matter if we want to be or not. Not only that, but we're also examples, not only to children, but we're also examples to unbelievers. You know, one of the reasons why, there are a lot of different reasons why some of the things that we do in this church and have been done in this church, but even before I got here, are good things. You know, one of the things I really enjoy, that when we read the scriptures, I like it when people open up their Bible and I hear this. That's a good sound. You know what that means? That means people are flipping to the books of the Bible. And you say, well, I don't know them very well. That's fine. That's what they make the table of contents for. Just keep on. You'll figure it all out. Amen. Now, there are some churches today that they have screens and they lower it down and they show the scriptures up there. I'm not for or against that. But I do know this. I like it when people carry their Bible and they open their Bible and look at it. Why? Well, because it teaches you the Bible. If I say open up your book to the book of Habakkuk, and I hear for like 20 minutes, I'm willing to give you plenty of time. Why? Because it's teaching you where the book of Habakkuk is. I mean, that's pretty important too, amen? I mean, just knowing the books of the Bible. That's the reason why, you know, sometimes I'll give you extra scriptures to look up. Why? Because I'll get you flipping through those pages. That's a good thing. It's all about teaching. It's kind of like, why do we sing a song in the morning sometimes we don't know? It's all about learning. And I want you to learn your Bible. But I'll tell you another reason why I like for us to bring our Bibles in. Because when you get out of your car, you've got that Bible right there and you're walking in, there is no doubt that lady across the street looks out her window. There's no doubt what you're coming in here for. You got that Bible right there. You know what? If I'm sitting there, somebody, and I'm unsaved, and I see people walking in with their Bible into this church, first thing I'm going to think is, I bet I know what book they use. They use the Bible over there. Amen? Now, if nobody grabbed a Bible and walked in here, then they may think that we're here just for a meeting, to have a, you know, maybe just a midweek meeting where we're going to discuss business or something. But when you got that Bible in your hand, they know what you're here for. It's a good testimony. It's a good example. When you go out there as a Christian and you live a godly life and things start to go bad for you in life and things start to, you know, things start to get tough, sickness, death, whatever it may be, the world is watching you. And when somebody says something to you that makes you mad, when the world would jump back and retaliate or maybe even punch the dude in the nose, you sit back there and you say nothing. And you just walk away. Or you say something nice like, I'm praying for you, and walk away. Don't you understand what kind of example that is? Don't you realize the world is looking at you right now? You have an opportunity to be an example of Christ to them. I'm not sitting here telling you this morning that as long as you be a good example, that's the same as witnessing to people, because that's just plain not true. Being a good example and living a godly life, I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to live a godly life and that's how I witness to people. That's for one thing, that's not scriptural. You should live a godly life, period, because you're an example to people. But the thing that saves is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to give them the gospel. Hey, listen, I heard one time a fellow was talking about this, and he said this. He goes, if you're one of those people that believe that just the way you live is witness enough, he goes, can you imagine going to court and the one person who could say the evidence that would get you off the hook, the one person who had the evidence that proved that you were not guilty, what happens if he gets fair and he goes, I promise to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, and he sits down and the judge says, okay, tell us the evidence you have that says that person right there is innocent. And I'm sitting there trying, waiting for you to say something. And you go up there and you go, ah. And don't say anything. Is that going to get me out? Is that going to get me acquitted? No. But you sure are being a good example, aren't you? Amen? Listen, you got to tell people about Jesus Christ. You got to show them the Word of God. You've got to show them how to be saved. Just simply living a good life is not going to get somebody else saved by them watching you. I understand, but the way we live, we're you know, we could be the most Christ that anybody sees. I understand that. But for a person to get saved, they don't get saved by watching how you live. They get saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must believe the gospel. Okay? However, we can be good examples to the unsaved. There should be a difference in the way we live and the way they live. There should be a reason when they say, you know, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. You know, that kind of tells you that you should have hope within you in the way you live. Amen. I mean, who's going to ask you a reason for the hope that's in you if you look around like if you walk around like you have no hope? Nobody's going to ask you that question. So we should live a certain way as an example for unbelievers, for an unbeliever to look at us and say, boy, there's something different about that fella. I would like to have what he has. I'd like to be able to, I mean, what is it in his life that he has that I don't have that would make him live like that? That's being an example. And may I tell you today, in these last days, the more Christian, the more like Christ you are, more so than any other time in history, folks, if you live as Christ is your example, you will stick out like a sore thumb amongst this world. I mean, you will flat stick out. But that's a good thing. You're being an example of something different than what the world has. We're being examples to the unsaved. Now, I'll tell you this. There are some Christians today that they don't live the example. They don't live the life that they're supposed to live. They don't follow Christ in the way they live. They don't follow godly people that are following Christ. And when the world looks at them and they see no difference at all, what kind of example is that? A horrible example. A horrible example. We're all examples to somebody. We're examples sometimes to our children. We're examples sometimes to baby Christians. We're examples sometimes to unbelievers. And so that leads to the last question this morning. And that is, what kind of example are you today? What kind of example are you today? Are you showing that this city, the city of Great Falls, what it means to be a Christian in the things that you do? Are you showing babes in Christ what maturity means? You know, that's the reason you read in your Bible there, it says, let the older women teach the younger women. You know why? Because those older women usually have been saved longer. Those younger women haven't. Now, I understand sometimes it's backwards. I understand that. But as in a general rule, that's usually the way it is. And it's saying, let the older women teach the younger women. Let the older men teach the younger men. Why? Because as a babe in Christ, as a person gets saved today or been saved for a year and they don't really know a whole lot of Scripture, they're looking for somebody to be their example. And you know what you're supposed to be? Their example. You're supposed to live the life like you're supposed to live. Why? They're watching you. You're supposed to be able to help them out with Scriptures. You're supposed to help them out in life. I mean, help them out. Show them the Scriptures. What does the Bible say about how to live and how to do these things? It's basically called discipling them. That's what we're supposed to do. And so, but there are a lot of Christians. You know, one of the things that I've seen in churches sometimes where some of the older people in churches become passive. They become bitter sometimes. I've even seen it to where a young person comes into church and they haven't been saved very long and they're on fire for the Lord. You know how when a person first gets saved, we call it charging hell with a water pistol. I mean, they just want to tell everybody about Christ and amen. That's the way we all should be. But then when they come on, they're on fire for the Lord and they start coming to church and they want to do everything. But then you have the older people in that church say, yeah, I remember how when I used to be like that. Oh, that'll wear off. What kind of example is that? You know what should happen? That older person should be encouraging it and saying, amen, not only are you fired up, but you know what? I think I'm going to go do this too. Be the example. Don't throw the wet blanket over a person that's fired up for the Lord, but I see it happen so many times in all these different churches where the older person will throw a blanket over it. Why? Because they can't stand seeing this young person who's serving the Lord like they used to, like they should be still today. So they'd rather throw the blanket over it to justify themselves. We're to be an example, folks. What kind of example are you being? You should be encouraging the younger Christians to start serving the Lord and get out there and telling people about Christ. You say, how can I do that? Well, if you're not doing it, start doing it now. Some way. Witness to people and then show them, tell them how to do it. You know, in this church, I'll tell you, I have seen the most unique ways of reaching people with the gospel that I've ever seen. I mean, we got some that just go through the mailing list, they go through the phone book. There's a name, there's an address, write it on an envelope, stick the track in there, and send it off in the mail. It's ingenious. I got other people that, when they go to the hospital, they leave tracks everywhere. You know, where those little things where they have the magazines, where you have, the car magazine, the sports magazine, and then the John and Romans. Amen. I've got some people that whenever they fill up gas, they got the track in their pocket. They take the thing, fill up gas, and when they put that little nozzle back there, just before they click it in there, they stick that track underneath there. So when you pick up that thing, the first thing you see is heaven or hell. Wait, holding the gas, the gas thrower upper, whatever it's called, when you're holding that thing. That's great. Listen, whatever you got to do, get the gospel out there. But whatever you do, don't hack on somebody who's given up the gospel by throwing the wet blanket on them and saying, yeah, I used to be like that. No, you are to be the example. What kind of example are you being? Are you helping out people and telling them how to get those tracts out there? Are you helping out people and telling them how to reach people for Christ? Are you helping out people that are going through certain situations that you've went through? And you know good and well that God got you through that? And that God was your strength through that? And that the only way you would have ever gotten through that tough situation is by the power of God? Are you willing to tell that person over here that's going through it exactly how they're going to get through it too? That's being an example. When things are going bad in your life, do you sit there and complain and murmur and cry about it and woe is me? Or do you say, you know what, I'm just going to trust the Lord to take care of this thing? Don't you understand everything that you do is an example to somebody? What kind of example are you being? We all need to be better examples. We all do. And listen, the more that you follow Christ, and the more that you follow people that are following Christ, the better example you're going to be, because you're being taught how to live life. Now, I'm going to say it again, because I have to say it, that you can follow somebody that's following Christ, but if they step out of line, it's time for you to stop following them. I've seen we all know that there have been preachers in this country that at one time were dead on, and they were preaching the gospel, and they were fired up for the Lord, but then the devil got to them. And you know what? Anybody smart, the second they see the devil get to him, that person quit living right. They should have stopped following right there. But you know, a lot of people didn't. A lot of people kept on following them. When a person would change his doctrine and start teaching something wrong, there are a lot of people who started following that fellow. And there are people today that are getting messed up in their doctrine because that guy is the one that changed his doctrine. He's wrong, but hey, we hold him up so high that I'm going to follow him wherever he goes. Now, wait a second. If he's not following Christ, you don't follow him anywhere. You know, I don't normally mention names. And I'm not going to tell you the name. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a person today that is one of the best teachers of creation and proofs of creation probably in this country today. A fellow that many people held high esteem at one time, that I believe he followed the Lord at one time. But now that fellow has messed up in his doctrine so bad that he's got the church, us, going through the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you something. Is it time to stop following that fellow? Yeah. You bet it is. You bet it is. It's time to stop following. Why? Because he's not following Scripture. Hey, listen, do you realize, if the church goes through the tribulation, do you realize what that's saying? That means that the Bible's wrong and you are appointed under wrath, because the wrath of God is going to be on this earth during the tribulation. Amen? And so what I'm saying is this, you follow people that are following Christ, because that's your ultimate goal, is always follow Christ. Go in the same direction Christ is going. But if that fellow starts to veer off, you got to let him go, folks. I mean, encourage him to get back on track. Show him the Scriptures to get him back on track. But if he continues to go off, you still must keep on following Christ. That's your ultimate goal. So the question is this morning is, how good of an example are you being to someone as a Christian?